Just in case 啊，嗯，好。有时候我听 Miss Lee 讲是他的那个 data 啊 memory full 要啊 copy over 还是 delete 呀？嗯 ，so once a while we have to clear that one. Yeah, last time Miss Lee also every time have that problem when the memory is full lah. It reached 10 minutes or 12 minutes lah, it stopped. Yeah, then the recorder give problem. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sada, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo.Namo Kwan Sing Pusa, Namo Kwan Sing Pusa, Namo Kwan Sing Pusa, Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa.Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Sanghang Namami.Okay, you can be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPānāti pātā vērammani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Ādīnā dānā vērammani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micācārā vērammani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmiMusawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Okay, now we will chant the Padipara Puja. Ganna Sarapaditena.Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana motamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi budang kasumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivase tunobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang Adivase tunobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering like. May this offering of like to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements, our heart. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, which we diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bhutang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness or attention, then we will off the light for the meditation. By now, I believe every one of us already understood what meditation is and how to develop it and proceed with it. So for those who already know how to meditate, you just proceed. For those who still need to develop the training of the mind to strengthen your spiritual faculty, you can proceed accordingly too. So if you need the mind sweeping method, coupled with the loving kindness to develop your ability to be mindful, then you use it as a skillful means. So this mind sweeping method will help you to decondition whatever heedless thinking that arises before your spiritual faculties can come in to help you to develop the meditative mind. Then as you do this mind sweeping method combined with metta, you will develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. And this will make your mind quiet, peaceful, because you just feel relaxed and you just continue to sweep your mind from the forehead down all the way. Because it does not think, it will not be heedless. So it's a very good way of deconditioning whatever heedless thinking that has arisen because of your lack of spiritual faculty. So during the meditation, if you can train it for 10 minutes or so, it will be very helpful. So you just feel relaxed, then visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, your facial muscle will relax naturally, because to enable you to smile, you must have joy, and to have joy, you must have happiness. That's why it will enable you to radiate this radiant smile, therefore bringing forth the condition for your facial muscle to naturally relax itself. Then you couple with metta, radiating loving kindness, starting with your own body and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being within your entire body and mind. Then you continue to radiate. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then after that, you can extend this metta to all the other beings, starting with your loved ones, then all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all fellow Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends. Then you radiate the love, the metta, then you extend it to all the beings within the whole of SS2, the vicinity of SS2. The whole of Selangor State, Malaysia, then Southeast Asia, Asia, then our planet, Mother Earth, then to all the beings within our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, then extending it to all beings throughout the entire universe, our existence. By then you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can bring that mind with metta back to your facial muscle. Then you continue your mind sweeping method on the facial muscle. You sweep until it reaches your buttock. Then you can reverse this whole process. then by the time you finish one round, you should be more calm, more peaceful. Your mind should be in a natural state of quietness. That is actually your silent mind, which is the mind that is aware, mindful, without thought. But because your spiritual faculty is not stable, so sometimes thought can arise, but it's okay, just let it be. Then in order to train this mind further, you can anchor it to an object of meditation, like anapanasati. Then you just relax body and mind, maintain attentiveness or attention in front of your nostril. Then you just silence everything and maintain awareness. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So when you maintain attention in front of your nostril, you will detect the breathing. Once you detect the breathing, the mind, which is the awareness and the breath, they will move as one. That is the training that you need to do. Then every time this mind wanders off, just bring it back. Do not stir it, do not react, do not do anything to it. Just accept it, that the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, it will wander off. So every time it wanders off, maintain attentiveness in front of your nostril. Then if you are patient enough, sooner or later, this anapanasati will come to you. Then you will feel the calmness, the peacefulness, the bliss within. Initially, it's just pity. Pity is a mental quietness or mental state, which is full of peace, meditative calmness. Then sometimes it's quite intense. It can give rise to like spiritual rupture, meditative rupture of mind. The mind feels very good. And this mindfulness of the in and out breath leading to a calm mind is very conducive for meditation. We need to stabilize this mindfulness so you can continue to train. Then anapanasati will develop and you will experience the piti, the sukha. Then you learn to relax deep into it until this mind becomes very quiet, very still and very silent. Then finally you will hit pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind with no thought, no movement. That is the mind that is already in sati. The mind has entered sati. And when you can stay there within the silence, you can rest that mind anywhere within your kaya. It will just stay there still. So that is the ultimate training. You still hold on to your breath. This breath will become very subtle. Then whatever object of meditation you use to train, it will also become very subtle as you hit pasati. Well, pasati is an enlightenment factor. It is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, without thought, without any movement. So meditation is to initially train this mind to be in this state of silence. But for those who already have the spiritual faculty developed, this meditative mind is very natural. The moment you relax silent in whatever posture, the mind will be there in sati. Because the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya and sati will bring forth the ability to be mindful. Then as you stabilize this sati, it will accumulate into what they call samadhi. Most people who can't do it because they lack the spiritual faculty, they were taught methods and techniques where they are told to note, to anchor the mind, or to focus and concentrate and develop one-pointedness as option. All this will lead you to a different type of meditation, which we call energy field or samatha. So that one you have to understand. But initially, if you want to experience it, because for some of you, you may have done this type of meditation before or in your past life, so it will naturally come back to you. So don't worry about it, just experience it, relax into it. If you apply the four support for awareness-based meditation, then you won't go wrong. You can experience the calmness, the peacefulness, the one-pointedness, or the absorption, or whatever. Yeah. As long as you develop the understanding of it, you don't attach, you don't cling, you don't get yourself deluded by it or deceived by it, then you are safe. It's okay. As you relax, which is the first support, into every mind state that arises, energy cannot build up. And when energy cannot build up, your mind will remain very, very peaceful, very calm, and very normal in a natural state. So the natural state of free mind without any energy field to hold it is the meditative mind. If you hold it to a conditioned state or to energy field, either one-pointedness or absorption, it will become a conditioned state, no more a free mind. And if you were to develop that type of meditation, you will experience a lot of calmness and peacefulness too, a lot of energy build up. Then the tendency is you tend to go into the psychic field, or they call thought-based meditation, or what we call energy field. Then if you have craving or desire for those states, you will develop it further. So it's up to the individual. But if you want to develop wisdom, you need to release it out to normal state of awareness so that you can develop the vipassana meditation, leading to insight in the phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. And the basis of this vipassana meditation or insight meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is to develop wisdom, understanding, not the fantastic energy field and meditative state, because those are different type of meditation. So finally, after we train our mind, or you already have the spiritual faculty, you are here to stabilize all the spiritual faculty until they become unshakable or balanced, especially sati, leading to samadhi. So when you can stabilize this sati leading to samadhi, you will have the ability to meditate differently. Then you can have the condition to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are, and develop all of the wisdom that you want to develop. So this is just a brief summary of what you should understand. Now I'll let you meditate on your own. I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. But those who still wants to meditate, you can slowly and mindfully come out of meditation. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are ready or who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrines of the kings of sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine or teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. We are chant the Pali together. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us be respite triple jam. Vedang Pujayami Dhammang Pujayami Sanghang Pujayami Okay, you can be seated. Then today I will go through you all this particular J. Krishnamurti's very profound sharing. I have sent out to the WhatsApp. You all can turn on your handphone. Then together we shall go through. This is page 336 and 337 of J. Krishnamurti's notebook. This notebook is a very special book. It records everything that he experienced while going through meditation by J. Krishnamurti himself. Then later on, I think after his passing away, people starts to get hold of the original writing. Then they compile it into a book form. They call it the J. Krishnamurti's notebook. And there is a lot of passage where through his own meditative experience and contemplation, he developed a lot of very deep penetrative insight into his own mind states, into all of phenomena. That's why this particular section is very, very beautiful. It explains very clearly what attention is. What is it like to really be attentive? We call it mindfulness, sati in the Buddhist sense. Okay, now I will take you through. Those who have the notes, you try to on your WhatsApp. For those who maybe don't have, you just listen attentively. It's about two or three paragraphs only, quite short, but very profound. J. Krishnamurti said, attention is seeing. Seeing is an art, just like listening. You must know how to see. It's just like the art of listening. You must know how to listen. Otherwise, you are not listening. You only develop the conditioned mind to actually listen in inverted comma, means you are not really attentively listening. So similarly with seeing. So now I will read to. Attention is seeing. When you pay attention, you actually see. Means you are very attentive. There is no more movement behind your thought process, behind your mind process. You just attentively see things as they are, without any reaction, stirring, or movement behind. So J. Krishnamurti said, seeing is an art, just like listening. But one hardly ever listens or see. And this is a very powerful statement. According to him, most living beings, they hardly listen or see. Do you agree? When you have the Dhamma, you will agree. We are living beings. Most of them, almost all of them, they are heedless. They think a lot. They can never stay focused or attentive. There is always movement of the mind. Just like, I forgot already, there was this sharing. I think the one transcript done by Puan Chi, I think end of last month at Wu Ping Ching Sir. We were going through the sharing on the Platform Sutta. Then after that, we had our meditation. Then after our meditation, because today I was going through the editing, then I saw this part. I don't know whether PG recall, she actually spoke on under the Q&A session, she spoke on an experience that he had, which he wanted to share, that can benefit many others. So according to her, after she heard what Ing Bi shared in the previous talk, I think it's one of the Thursday talk or what, he suddenly developed the understanding that there is a lot of things that is going on in the mind which he can't understand in the past. Until when Ing Bi shared that one, then when he reflected and contemplated, then he realized the Buddha Dharma, the teaching is so beautiful, so clear, especially the second noble truth, the cause of arising or suffering. He saw how her mind proliferate, continuously arising the thinking, the thought process. And she knew it was just like what Ing Bi said, due to her attachment to all those things that she has been holding on for so long, to the extent that sometimes it makes her difficult to have a good sleep. So all this is the beginning of understanding. When you can see for yourself that the mind is heedless because of all this attachment, clinging, craving, grasping and holding on to things that happen in the daily life. And some of these are your habitual tendency which are already so deeply ingrained. The habitual tendency is your habitual reaction to sense experience, your views and your opinion, and the way you perceive things. That's why you will continue to stir your mind, react and do all those things. So this is the reason why she was like moved to tears, seeing all this and yet cannot deal with it. Because you don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding, you cannot deal, you cannot cope. The mind without the spiritual faculty, without the stability of mindfulness and heedfulness, cannot stay quiet. It will react, it will stir, it will chattle, it will verbalize, and it will create heedlessness. That's why this mind is full of heedlessness, restlessness, mental hindrance, the like and dislike, the constant reaction to sense experience. So these are the things that Krishnamurti actually is talking about. That's why we said, like Krishnamurti came to know, but one hardly ever listen or see. And he gave the reason, now you understand. This is what actually PG start to understand, that what is going on in her mind. When you understand, that is the beginning of understanding. After you understand, if you reflect, contemplate deep into it and develop clear understanding, then you will trace the origination factor, like I explained when I answered her sharing. The origination factor will tell you what went wrong. It's basically because you are deluded, the self-delusion. They are very strong, they are very powerful, and they condition your mundane mind to grasp, cling and hold without you even knowing that this has been going on for so long. And she also recalled, like the way she reported, these are the old stories that the mind keep on repeating and dealing, just like people who has depression, like a tape recorder, keep on spinning. But the normal heedlessness is not depression. It is similar, except that it's a habitual tendency. You habitually react to sense experience that way. You become afflicted in the usual way. So because of that, Krishnamurti actually saw all those things, but in deep meditative state, That's why he understands them very clearly. Then when he understands, he knows what to do. That's why when you understand, you straighten your view, you will not be deluded like before. You will not cling, you will not hold, you will not grasp, you will not allow yourself to be afflicted anymore. So now we slowly go into this part, which is very beautiful. Then we see how much you can understand. Huh? Then we will do the sharing. So I repeat the front part. Huh? Krishnamurti said, attention is seeing. Seeing is an art, similar to listening. But one hardly ever listen or see. The reason being, everyone is so preoccupied, so busy with the things that have to be done. So this one you can accept. Where you got to do a lot of things in life. You are so preoccupied with the things in life, things that you have to attend to. And you are so busy with those things that you have to do. What are these things? You are so preoccupied with your so-called problem. One's joy, when you are happy, and tears. So your joy, your problem, and your tears, this is a big part of life. Then one has no time to see. Now you understand? You can follow or not? Yeah? Can you follow? Why did Krishnamurti say you got no time to see? Because you are so preoccupied with all those situations and problems. Things that can move you to tears, can arise the fear, the worry, the sorrow, and the lamentation. Then, of course, sometimes when things go your way, you jump with joy. Then, when your expectations are not met, you develop sadness, sorrow, lamentation, and all those things. Then there are many other things in life that you have to attend to: your career, your business, your family duties, all the things that you have to see to as you go through life. You have to provide for your own needs, your own financial independence, your family, and all those other related commitments and other things. Then Krishnamurti went on to say, one has no time to see, but time does not give sight. So this is a very profound sentence too. Why did Krishnamurti say, but time does not give sight? What is time referring to under this particular sentence? What time is he talking about? Yeah, use the mic. I heard somebody. Who was it? Yeah, pass the mic. Yeah. Chui, yes. What time? Yeah. So that one you call what? Psychological time. Understand? Very good. Psychological time is when you start to think. Understand? Or? Mental movement, mental thinking. When you are preoccupied with your thought process of the thing. I think this is all right. When you are preoccupied with your thought process, you create psychological time. Understand? Or? When there is no thought, there is no thinking, no mental time, no psychological time. So here, Krishnamurti is referring to psychological time. That's why he said, everybody is so occupied, so busy with the things that have to be done. With one's joy, problems, and tears. So much so, one has got no time to see. But then, they didn't realize that time does not give you sight. Time actually hinders seeing. So now you can link. Can you link? Time is what? Thinking. Understand or not? When you are preoccupied with your mental problem, mental thinking, when you want to resolve whatever, or you react to what your thought tell you, you actually already lost in thought, become heedless. That's the reason why you cannot be with the moment to see things clearly. That's why you cannot see. There is no more seeing. So here Krishnamurti has this very deep understanding. He said, but time does not give you sight because time hinders seeing and listening. So psychological time will hinder you from actual seeing things as they are or listening to things as they are. Because when you are preoccupied with your thought process, you cannot be attentive. You cannot really develop the direct seeing or see things as they are. So because of that, Krishnamurti developed this clear understanding and put it in words which are so beautiful. He said, but time does not give you sight. Time actually hinders seeing and listening. And he explained, time is a space for experiencing, and experiencing only dulls the mind and your heart. Now you understand? Can follow this sentence now? Yeah? We go through one more time. Yeah? Time is the space for, maybe I write on the whiteboard. Yeah? Time is the space for what? Yeah? Experiencing. What is experiencing? Yeah? Who experience? The thought. Very good. Actually. Time is the space for experiencing. Experiencing, So this word experiencing is very important. Who experienced the thought? Okay. So when you are experiencing something, let's say happiness, joy, or sorrow, or fear, or anxiety, or restlessness of mind. So this is what the mind is doing, experiencing. And it involves the thought. So you will be preoccupied with this experience. Experience. When you do this, what happened? Huh? Again, you are lost in thought, isn't it? You can follow. Yeah. So if you were to look at the Krishnamurti code alone again, it's so beautiful, he said. Time is the space for experiencing, and experience only dulls the mind and the heart. Now you can follow. Because when you experience, you are preoccupied with the experience. That's why it dulls your mind. Your mind has got no more clarity, understand? So when it's preoccupied with this experience, what happened? These are your mind state, understand? You either like it or you don't like it, or you experience intense fear, intense pain, or intense joy, which is the duality of life, the other extreme. So when you are experiencing all this, the worst is the mind starts to accumulate all these experiences. And when you start to accumulate, what happened? Huh? What did the Mahayana say? The second noble truth. Kuji. The cause of suffering is accumulation through memories. When you experience, you retain that through memory. Your scars of memory. Your lust, your craving, your desire, your whatever memory that you store, good and bad. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because what is memory? Memory is the accumulation of all your experiences, good and bad. Can follow? Yeah? Even good meditation, what will happen when you keep it in the memory? When you go for retreat or go for meditation, if you don't have that type of good experience that you had before, because you recall through memory, and what is your reaction? A lot of meditators don't got that. They will say, today, my meditation lousy. Because they compare. And who compare? Thought compare. We are thought divide. Divide through words, through concept, through ideology, for you to grasp and to cling. So when you cling onto the good meditation, you don't like the bad meditation, what are you creating? Sensual desire and ill will, which are hindrance of mind. That's why you cannot meditate. That's why meditation is not about good or bad meditation. What is meditation for? Yeah? What is the purpose of meditation? To develop what? To develop what? Sati is just mindfulness. That is the training of the mind. Wisdom, very good. The main intent of meditation is to develop wisdom so that you understand all this, so that you are not caught in all this, so that your mundane mind, your heedless thinking mind does not deceive you, does not delude you, does not create delusion in you, so that you will not be lured by it, entangled by it. So the main purpose of meditation is to develop the ability to insight into phenomena, to understand all this. And how do you understand all this? That's why you must have the attentive mind. The mind that is aware, mindful of what is going on. And see clearly how you get yourself entangled. And how when you are preoccupied with this experiencing. That's why the real meditation is nothing to experience. Understand? Huh? The byproduct will be there. You can experience all the calmness, the peacefulness. But these are not relevant. Understand? Huh? As long as doesn't give you understanding or wisdom to awaken your mind, all this fantastic meditation mind state that you experience got no meaning. Experience actually dulls your mind and heart. Now you can follow. Yeah? Clear. As this become clear, your understanding will stabilize. Then whatever that PG mentioned, I hope the transcript can come out soon. I about to finish already. I think one more day or so, I will finalize it already. Then after that, maybe we can do the proofreading and all those things. Because that one was very good. That one is a very good sharing and description that explains clearly what meditation is and how you can actually develop the understanding to understand all this and liberate your mind. Then we move on. Eh? The mind is filled and the heart has turned away. So this part you should understand. Eh? Eh? You understand that? Because it's a continuation. Eh? The mind is filled and the heart has turned away. Means your mind is filled with what? Not mindfulness, no. Not awareness, no. Not attentiveness, no. Filled with all the experiences, understand? No. Where you look forward to good meditation, to good experience, to all the thing that you like to repeat and experience it over and over again, so that it can give you joy, peace, happiness. That's why all the fantastic meditative experience, they are of no relevance if you cannot develop wisdom out of it. That's why a lot of meditation lead you to fantastic mind state, but they are all mostly energy field, concentration or samatha based, thought based. So because of that, Krishnamurti say, time is the space for experiencing, and experience only dulls the mind and heart. The mind that is filled after you experience, then the heart has turned away, and so there is no seeing at all. When you are preoccupied with all this experiencing, you cannot see. That's why you have to silence your mind, not to preoccupy that mind with anything. Just silent. Don't try to know. Just relax and maintain that state of awareness. And through that choiceless awareness, it will start to understand. It will insight into phenomena. It will develop the understanding and the wisdom. And that is what meditation is all about. It's not about chasing after phenomena, noting here, noting there, concentrating, focusing, doing all this. It's just about relaxing your body and mind, then maintain the awareness to understand clearly whatever that arises within your own form and mind. The form and mind need sense basis to arise, sense door consciousness. Then when the sense door consciousness arises, the Buddha said, initially it's just like the physical experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. Means, upon contact, it's only the consciousness that arises, like seeing. In the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That is the pure seeing. You are not preoccupied with anything. You see things as they are. No word, no concept. But the moment you input your content through memory, what happens? You start to perceive things. You start to dwell. You start to give meaning. You start to create all this experiencing. And you start to accumulate into your memory. That's how it dulls your mind. It develops attachment, craving, clinging. And you start to accumulate more and more because you believe you must have knowledge. Yeah? Now you understand. Huh? You must have knowledge to become smart, cunning, successful. So, the chase after knowledge will create more and more of this, what they call desire and craving to be successful, to have more knowledge. Then you accumulate more. You commit to memory and all those things. Then you try to make use of them to help you in life. So when you start to do all this, you actually dull your mind. Because you cannot see how damaging it is doing to your nature, to your true mind. Because you create a lot of mental suffering through delusion, through attachment, through clinging, through craving, through desire, through lust, and all those things. Then Krishnamurti went on to say, the mind is filled and the heart has turned away, and so there is no seeing. That to see, knowledge must be kept in the book. And now you understand. What is knowledge? What is knowledge? Memory, yes. All your facts, understand? You have a lot of knowledge. The school teach you a lot of knowledge. Like history. How much knowledge is there? They even tell you all the dates. Then World War I, World War II. Then all the various civilizations. Then they even to other type of knowledge like technical, scientific, even to the social science and other things. Under geography, you also study Malaysia, capital city, Kuala Lumpur. Then all the states, they got their own capital. Then you have what they call under geography, the population of the country, what are the produce that they export and import. So there are a lot of things. Then you got terrain, the topology, topography of the country and all those things. So all this can give rise to a lot of knowledge, but you have to commit to memory. Like you go to school, you got to remember so many things. So all this knowledge is memory. And they are rigid. They are not wisdom. They are not understanding. They are knowledge. That's why they become rigid. And knowledge bind. When you say you know, means what? In the worldly sense, Krishnamurti said the most dangerous person in this world is the one who say, what? I know. Because whatever you know, you are referring to knowledge. Understand? And knowledge binds. Knowledge actually binds you, douses you. Because accumulation of knowledge is memory. And that is the cause of suffering. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. How should you act in life? How should you act? Knowledge cannot release you. Because you want to be good. Technology. 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 Correct. It is knowledge. That's why knowledge is not wisdom. It cannot free you. It cannot liberate you. It can make you technologically very advanced. You look at all the what they call so-called famous Nobel Prize winner scientists, all those things. But they fail miserably, even though their intellect is very high with a lot of knowledge, technical knowledge. And even you can call that understanding in inverted comma in the scientific field. But then you look at their own life, their own psychological life. They cannot understand even their mind. They cannot understand what consciousness is and how their own consciousness through their own delusion, wrong view, conditioned them to have so much fear, sorrow, lamentation and misery. So knowledge, if you truly look at it, it is rigid. It is not a wisdom. It is not an understanding that can liberate your mind and free you. It will actually delude you and bring you deeper and deeper into the technological field. It's not an argument about whether knowledge is useful or not. You cannot deny knowledge has helped mankind to progress in the inverted comma sense. Our, what they call, civilization, in terms of materialistic progress, it has progressed a lot. It has actually improved many of the humanity's life. And we get to experience a lot of beautiful things in life. Is all because of mostly technology. But likewise, technology is just an instrument. The user of technology is very important, understand? It's the mind, the living being, that use technology is deluded. There can be catastrophic consequence. And technology can bring about the whole collapse of humanity too, or destruction of humanity too. So technology by itself need the user to have the wisdom, the understanding to make use of. Otherwise, like your thought, like money, if the user of thought and money is evil, deluded, then money and the thought process become evil and deluded. Technology is the same. Technology becomes a danger to humanity if the user of technology is deluded. Yeah. So what is more important is knowledge, like Krishnamurti said, must be kept in the book. You know what is kept in the book? Yeah? You don't hold it in your memory. You know? If you hold it in your memory, what will happen? You will start to argue with people. Yeah? Then you will start to quote and use this knowledge to act. Yeah? But this is not wisdom. This is knowledge, which is rigid and can bring about a lot of wrong view that can lead to destructive consequence and other things. So here, if you look at what Krishnamurti had to say, it's very good. To see means really developing the wisdom, the direct seeing. Knowledge must be kept in the book and not in the mind. Why? Now you understand. You listen. Eh? Knowledge interpret. You agree or not? Yeah? When you have knowledge, you interpret it. Eh? Like that day, eh? I got one classmate who walked the Great Wall, you remember? I think Chu, you know him. Eh? Tian Hin. Eh? So we had a classmate daughter getting married on Christmas night. So we were there. We got two tables there. Then we were discussing what Tian Hin saw. So one guy was trying to tell Tian Hin to write a book, understand? And he is more interested in the commercial aspect of the book, understand? This book must sell, he said. You will make a lot of money. This book must have the input that can attract and draw people. And you know what Tian Hin told her, no? Or told him, sorry, it was the husband of the other classmate. He said, that was not my intention. I did the walk not for money. I did the walk not to write book and make me famous. I did the walk because I believe in what I do. And it's so simple. No? He just talked about count. C-O-U-N-T. Yeah? That word very easy to understand. Huh? Kao is an abbreviation of all the virtue that he wants to instill in the world. So when he walks the Great Wall, a million steps, he said, it's counting your step. Don't worry about how far. You just count your step. And to him, Kao is a very good abbreviation. You know what does Kao stand for? C-O-U-N-T. Chui, can you remember that? Yeah? Should. Ah, very good. C for compassion, he said. O for what? Huh? Optimism. 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 That's you? U is what? No, unity. That? N? N is for what? Nature. Then? T? Tomorrow. And to me, this is very beautiful, very simple. And because he walked for 7 years, he just completed his trip this year. Every year when he walked, it was about 3 weeks of continuous walking. Then he got to see a lot of things. He got to experience a lot of things. Then he has this count as his objective. Because it is his passion to do all this. for humanity, for a better world. The quality of compassion is lacking in the world, you see. So out of compassion, he tried to do something to help the world. So he actually tried to raise some fund for the needy, the poor people. Yeah. Then when you have compassion, he said, it will have the ability to do all those goodness, wholesomeness. Then you feel for people. People's suffering, misery, fear, and all those things. Then as he walked, he experienced a lot of love and compassion from all those people that stay around the wall. He said, these people are so simple. No? You know why are they simple? No? Huh? They are not greedy. They are not selfish. And he told us there are many stories of families whom they totally don't know. And they are like foreigners. Yeah. But when you are there doing the walk, because as many of these stretches, you actually know place to actually go for accommodation at proper hotel or what. You have to look for villages. And most of the time, you hardly find villages. You can only find maybe one or two family around there. And their condition is already so minimal, so extreme, the temperature, the weather. But he said they are full of compassion, full of love, full of simplicity. They are not like a city people. They welcome you, is it? Whatever food they have, even they don't know whether tomorrow they will get food or not, they will still share with you. And he said the whole family, they only sit in one like open space. And he was telling me he slept with the host. He slept with the host's wife, children, and everybody in the same place. Understand? And when he was there, he got this Singaporean friend that followed him. There, this guy was still new. The first thing he asked is, where is your toilet? The villager asked him back, what toilet? What do you mean by toilet? What do you want to do with toilet? Then he explained, yeah, xiao bian, in Mandarin, means you want to do the business, pee, and all those things. Oh, he point outside. He said, you just do it outside. Understand? And for 3 days, he cannot shit. You know why? There was no door on. Then there is just one hole with all the flies and everything down there, and the smell. So when you don't experience all this, you don't experience life. Then you know what that the other classmate say. Ayo, like that, how can la? They should come out to the city. They should have all this. This is what knowledge is all about, isn't it? When you have this knowledge, you want to tell people what to do, isn't it? But you know what he told him or not? They are so happy and contented down there. You know? They don't need anything. You know? He tried to give them money because after they allow them to stay and have the food and all that. He said, no need. You give me money, no use. There is no place I can buy anything. Is it? Money is no use here. Is it? He said, you can go out. Yeah, hardly go out. So they don't need, and they are so contented. Yeah. Then they got no pipe water, nothing. Yeah. No electricity, certain area. Yeah. Still very backward. Then they talk about internet and all those things. They don't want to know, yeah? They don't understand. Then sometimes they tell him, yeah, he said, my children also, because they went to study, then they went out to the city, then they come back, they bring all the, don't know what, is it they cannot understand all the handphone, the latest model, but they don't know how to use. And most of the places don't even have internet and all those things. But they are very happy. They are very contented. They have a lot of compassion, a lot of love. They are very sincere. And they trust you. They got no cunningness, nothing. they can open up the whole house for you. And you can sleep with them. All in one place, of course. That's why he joked, is it? You don't believe, is it? I was sleeping in the house, the wife, the daughter, the children, everything together. And that classmate asked Tianhin, no, how long can you last on this type of trip? Isn't it? And Tianhin looked back, no, what you mean, how long? It's really fun, isn't it? You get to see and experience all this that you never see when you're in the city. Because we don't understand what this calm means, you see. When you understand, you will become different. So he said, when there is compassion, there is love. There is this goodness, kindness, willing, ever willing to share. And there is this trust and all those things that comes together. No more of the normal city life type of cunningness, selfishness, calculative and all those things. Then every day also work so hard for what? You say these people are so happy with nature. Understand? With what they do, with what nature can offer to them. Then sometimes the weather is severe, but they endure it because it has been like that all the time. And sometimes even worse. But as long as they get to live the next day, they are very happy people. Then, according to him, anybody who survived more than 70 years old under that environment is considered long life. No, understand? They celebrate. Oh, they really celebrate. Then he said, O is for optimism. If you have optimism in life, you will become beautiful. Understand? No? You will not be sad. You will not be like think negatively, understand? Perceive things with negativity. Because you are very optimistic about life, about the future of the world. Because you start to see all this manifesting, virtue manifesting in society and all those things. Then after that, he say, when all this compassion and optimism is there, there is unity, understand? And when there is unity, there is no division. No division means no war. Understand? Yeah? No, what they call competition and all those things. No division and no negativity involving this unity. Then after that, the next one is back to nature. Then of course, I help him to develop further understanding. I said, nature is the most compassionate. Like my teacher used to share with me, nature just give and give and give. Nature never take. What does it give? The most important thing that we need to survive, to sustain our life, come from nature. The air you breathe, the water you drink, come from nature. And they are given free. Can we have even a small aspect of nature's love and generosity to give something back to the world? Unless you already have the Dhamma, then you give back a lot of things to the world, understand? But most people, they are selfish. They hardly give back. So this part on nature, of course, he expanded it on the other side. He liked to travel to remote places where the nature is still very pristine. The air is still very fresh. And everything is still very pristine because very little human consciousness and all those things. Then tomorrow is, of course, looking forward to the future of humanity, especially the next generation and future generation to come. So, basing on this count, he count his step and he live experiencing all this. That's why he actually became very different. Every year he come back, he became different. Then this year, because he finished the walk, he wrote a summary which was very good. He said he realized nowadays children, including his own children, he said, and city people, They know the price of almost everything, but they know the value of nothing. You agree or not? He said, he gives the son or the children. You give them 1,000. You know what they will tell you? Oh, daddy, thank you. I think I can buy something with the price tag on. I can buy my sports shoe. Or I can buy, if it's more than 1,000 maybe, the latest model or smartphone. They only know the price and they just want to use it. But they don't know the value of the money, how you earn it. Understand? That they really don't know the value. But to them, they are not interested. That's why that night we also discussed. Last time, when we go coffee shop, the kopi and the teh, how much we pay? 20 cents or 10 cents. Now they go Coffee Bean. They go Starbucks. Because this one is not their money. So to them, the value is no more there. Not to say we cannot afford, you understand? Don't get me wrong. We were there because we all can afford actually. But when we recall through memory again, like what Krishnamurti said, because we have gone through those periods where life is very tough. We know how difficult is it to make that money. And we know the value of the hard-earned money, the sweat and all those things. And to ask us to just pay for that, which we could easily afford, sometimes we just feel funny, you know. Wow, how can we buy just a cup of coffee? 10, 11 or 12 ringgit, or you go coffee house, it's more. So, just to have a coffee. So these are the mindset that will actually create the conditioning in you. But if you cannot see, then you cannot change. Then you will become rigid. You understand? This is what Krishnamurti is trying to say. When you have knowledge, this is all going to become real and a problem to you. So to see, knowledge must be kept in the book and not in the mind. Why? Because it says, knowledge interpret. You look at the way you accumulate all your so-called knowledge and allow you to discriminate and interpret all these things. And this is the one that causes a lot of conflict, a lot of desire, craving, attachment, argument, division. So when it starts to interpret, then it chooses giving colors to all the race and all those things. Then opinion, weighing, criticizing, choosing, and then there is no more seeing. Understand? It's all about the mind, the knowledge that create all this division and all these so-called mind states. So how can there be any seeing? What you see is your own projection, your own desire, your own fear, your own craving. But you don't see what is the reality. That's why you cannot awaken. You cannot develop wisdom. The Buddha's teaching is very simple. Silence your mind to see things as they are. Not through your views and opinion and your memory with all the conditioning, the fear, the worry, and the anxiety, the tradition, the belief system, your religious concept and idea. So all this, when you start to understand, you will not do all those things anymore. Then when you understand what is real seeing, what is real listening, you will know how to meditate. Understand? When you meditate, if your mind is still preoccupied with all this experiencing, which is nothing to do with the meditation, then you know you are being heedless. You will have a lot of problem because that will not awaken you. That will not allow you to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are. That will only cause you more confusion and delusion, more attachment and accumulation into your memory and your mind. Then we go on. Krishnamurti said, sorry, I put a remark there. What is the reality? Seeing things as they are, the truth. Then Krishnamurti said, it goes by and you are lost with your own toy. you can understand this sentence. What is there all the time. It goes by. And you never see. Why? Because you are preoccupied with all the TOYS, all the toys that you cling on to through your mind. But when you do see, do listen, then that act is a miracle that transforms, that has emptied the mind and the heart of the past. You understand? When you don't retrieve those memories, when you just see without all the idea, the concept, the conditioning, your views and your opinion and the knowledge, you just see. Then he said, that act of seeing is the miracle that transforms, that has emptied the mind and the heart of the past. Means you do not accumulate anymore. You do not hold on to all those. You are observing and experiencing what? Not through the mind, you know. You are experiencing the pristine beauty of nature and yourself as it unfolds. Moment to moment. You are not holding it to memory, understand not? Comparing with the memory of what you have seen before or not. Every moment is different. Every moment is so pristine, so beautiful. That's why I say when you have this Dhamma, this understanding, you can experience the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. That's why I used to share with you one. You can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. The pristine beauty and wonders of life. Every moment is so pristine, so beautiful. And your entire being and nature can just be with it, silently experiencing the pristine beauty and wonders. Because you are not preoccupied with any thought process. Means what? No fear. No worry, no anxiety, no craving, no desire, nothing of all this. The mind is just silent with the moment, witnessing what is the reality, moment to moment, with such pristine beauty and wonders. So this is the aspect where normal living being cannot do, cannot develop the ability, because they don't have the meditative mind that is silent in the midst of life, from moment to moment. Yeah. Okay, then I go on. Eh? You don't have to do anything according to Krishnamurti. The reason being, thought is incapable of this miracle. So now you understand. Who is doing? Thought is trying to do. Thought is trying to understand, experience. If you stop, you cannot realize the truth, because this is beyond thought, beyond mind. So that's why Krishnamurti, he had this same understanding. He said, thought is incapable of this type of miracle. Then that seeing becomes love. That seeing is love, as listening is. You cannot come by this through exertion, means it's effort. Through the dullness of discipline. You know what is discipline or not? Yeah? Become rigid. Discipline yourself. Yeah? Keep on repeating. Yeah? This one cannot. That one cannot. Everything also cannot. Means you resist. You cannot accord and flow. Yeah? Then the other part is through any bargaining. Bargaining, you know. I help you, you help me. Some people, they pray to all the gods and deities. You help me. After that, I offer all the beautiful things, whatever you want. So it's like you can bargain on. Not through the shock of unanswerable question. This one, if I'm not wrong, referring to some of the people who don't understand what Kongan is. You know what Kongan is? They give you a very, very tough question, understand? No? Like, who is chanting the Buddha's name? They call it Kongan. So here, Krishnamurti say, you cannot realize that type of truth through the shock of unanswered or unanswerable question. Means like the Kongan, understand? No? The Kongan is not meant to be that way, understand? No? You cannot use the thought and try to understand it. The Kongan is like something to trigger off inquiry. For you to inquire, who is chanting the Buddha's name? Or for how? So when you inquire means what? You don't go and think about it, understand? You inquire means you reflect, you contemplate. Then you throw this up as an inquiry. Then this silent mind, which is creative, will start to develop the creative understanding out of it. Not through what they call active thinking. It's just that silent. Within that silent, it will just allow the contemplative creation, the creative contemplation, to develop its own understanding. So that's why this part, which Krishnamurti wrote, is very good. He said, the dullness of discipline, or through any bargaining, nor through the shock of unanswerable question. If you use all this, which is still thought-based, you cannot realize that tie or truth. Then Krishnamurti said, there must be emptiness to see, to listen. There must be quietness. What is this quietness? Quietness means the silent mind. A free mind, free of all the conditioning, the reaction of mind, the habitual tendency, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, the perception, and all those things. So all this must be absent. Means no knowledge, nothing. Just silent, aware. Then the real seeing can arise. So there must be emptiness to see, to listen. There must be quietness. Then he said, it was rather late in the night. Lightning and rain were making great noise. Again, the brain was aware of the lightning and the rain on the window. But it was, what is that word? Yeah? What is that word? You all don't have the thing. Motionless, yes. This part, you can never get it so fast. You have to wait till your wisdom develops. Your form and mind collapse, mundane mind collapse. Then you go through the transformation, realize the Nibbana and all those things. Then later on, as your develop, as your cultivation deepens, as your understanding deepens, as your consciousness transforms more and more, as you connect deeper and deeper into your true nature. Yes. the brain. Yeah, very good question. Yeah, the brain. That's why you can have that. The brain was aware of all those things, but it was motionless. Astonishingly still. Not only no movement, no. Completely still. Means what? Means what? For that immensity was there with clarity and unapproachable strength. Remember last time I used to share with you all? When you go through cessation, your whole of your brain is like completely shut down. No activity at all. No movement at all. Even the pure consciousness also no matter there. But this one that he described is when he is still not in that state of cessation or Nibbana. But he already went beyond others. That's why he has this ability to have that state of mind where the brain can never disturb the true mind. That's why the brain is still, silent, no movement. Here, the heart, the nature also still, no movement. As I earlier on, you remember, in a number of the sharing, especially the one at I think Wu Ping Ching Se, is it? The mind must have no dwelling. Remember? And I ask, can you have that type of mind? Yeah? Remember? Can you have that type of mind? And the transcript, I think, hopefully somebody is doing it. And when it come out, it will be very beautiful. If you can have that type of mind that is without dwelling. You know how you dwell in it. We have gone through, huh? How you dwell. The moment you perceive, you dwell there. Understand? You perceive my voice, you dwell here. You perceive the Buddha image, you dwell there. And human being is so busy perceiving throughout their waking moment. That's why they dwell everywhere. That's why the mind that dwells is not the true mind. It's not the meditative mind. The meditative mind, when it's in the state of meditation, it never dwells. That's why it's so different. It's not what people think. But you have to go through that to experience and understand all this without thought, without the dwelling, where everything can just be silent and still. Even I was trying to share with, I think, Thursday class, and also sometimes Tuesday class and Sunday class. Yeah. Even though I'm doing the sharing, remember? Maybe 2 hours or 2 hours plus. Do you think inside here got any movement? There is no movement at all. It's just empty, silent, and still all the time. But like the drum, from that silent vibration, everything can come out. And these are the byproducts. Well, from the nature, it arises. And this wisdom is not stored in the memory. It's not a memory. It's not an idea. Memory, when you grow old, you can forget, understand? Knowledge, when you don't look at it, use it often, you can also forget because it's true memory. But wisdom, the moment you have, you always have. Always means when this form and mind is connected to that wisdom, this form and mind will have that wisdom all the time. And you don't have to remember anything. That's why I remember I used to explain to Yun Chan last time. Yoniso Manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Wisdom you cannot learn. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot like want to cut a feeling. You cannot be at the moment. Yeah? Like the one that Yun Chan sent to me today. Yeah? Yeah, today, yeah? You sent to me. From where? Teacher there. Yeah. That's why I didn't want to reply to you. Because you cannot. How can you... He mentioned something like, at the moment of eating, the intention, you either, he said, what? Deluded or have wisdom. I mean, different people do meditation differently, with due respect. But it's not this way. Wisdom you have to develop through meditative training. Then when you insight, when you penetrate the characteristics of nature, when you realize it is always there. Then every moment, every instant, the form and mind know what to do. You cannot practice at that moment on, understand? At that moment of sense experience, you don't have wisdom, means don't have wisdom. Craving will arise. That's why you cannot cut a feeling. Immediately upon contact, feeling arise, then it will draw you, craving. Unless you have wisdom. If you have the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, that feeling will remain as feeling. It will not be drawn. Cannot. It cannot move because of the understanding. So it's not a practice where at that moment you practice to have wisdom to deal with it. Wisdom is not a knowledge. It cannot be practiced. It has to be realized. That's why the Buddha says he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize it yourself. Because he cannot teach it to you. He can share the Dhamma with you. He can show you how it can be done. But you have to develop it and develop the understanding to your own cultivation. Yeah. So this is the part where cultivators need to develop clear understanding. Otherwise, most of them will become gullible and end up doing what people tell them to do. Julia, pass the mic to her. Yeah. Yes, Chui.
The word conceptual mind itself is something that I couldn't grasp.
No, conceptual mind is the mundane mind.
But they keep talking about it. Like it's so special, and I just don't know what it's all about. After
because when you understand that conceptual mind is the mundane mind, understand? So how can you use that mundane mind to cultivate, to develop wisdom? You cannot. Because that mundane mind is the conceptual mind. It has a lot of concept, understand or not? Try to conceptualize things. But thing is just the way it is. It's not a concept. There is no word to describe all these things. So the conception mind is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind. And that mind, you cannot use it to meditate. Then it becomes idea. Then it becomes concept. You can follow. Then it becomes thought-based. The true mind, that's why I say I didn't answer, but it's okay. We are different people, do it differently with their own understanding. So what we are more concerned is, that's why I dare not reply. If I reply, people will say, well, oh, Brother Teo says sadhu. You know? Then they go and promote all this. I get into big trouble, understand? No? So that's why when I don't reply, don't say Brother Teo, very cold. Don't even want to reply me. Don't get me wrong. When I don't reply, means very likely there is something. That's why you have to come to me and talk to me or discuss with me. Then we can share it out. Tonight, because there is condition, that's why the condition fall into place. Then the nature connect. Then it come out. But please, don't get this nature wrong. We are not here to argue about right and wrong. No point, understand? We are here to develop understanding. So we respect people for what they are, for their cultivation and all those things. But there are a lot of other books too that also talk about meditation. So these are bound to arise in the world. But as a cultivator, you have to screen it. You have to develop your own understanding. Don't be gullible. Yes. Yeah.
It just seems that there's so much stuff that's been written, and there's so much stuff we read, and after a while, so much stuff which is not stuff which I can even understand. So I begin to think, I must be really stupid, you know, I can't understand so much stuff going on.
It's so not you stupid, because these are the stuff that you shouldn't understand. If you think you understand that stuff, then you also become like that stuff, understand not? That's why there are certain stuff that you cannot understand is good. Don't try to understand. Because it got no meaning, understand? Huh? Like you saw it clearly, he emphasized so much on the conceptual mind, understand? Huh?
I'm trying to look at, we must develop a certain amount of wisdom.
Definitely.
Even in the things we choose to place attention on.
Correct.
And that is something that sometimes slips us, you know. Because it's so easy to be misled.
Correct. But actually, I don't blame Yun Chan, because a lot of people is the same. But to them, they saw like a lot of Dhamma, understand? Where it's like, the first instant you look at it, it's like a lot of Dhamma, understand? Then it's like something worth sharing, understand? But as you develop your own cultivation, as you understand clearer, then you look at it again, ayo. How come last time I cannot see? I still think that there is a lot of Dhamma. That's why there is a lot of book that writes about the Dhamma. there is a lot of Dhamma tum, understand? No? It appears like a lot of Dhamma inside there. But for those who have gone through the cultivation, had the understanding, the moment they read, they know there is a lot of things not in accordance, conflicting. The author that writes don't understand, don't have clarity, don't have that type of understanding. That's why he writes that way. That's why they are still the way they are. So there is no right, no wrong. Thing is just the way it is. So just let things be, because before you have that understanding, you cannot understand. But when you have that understanding, then you read, you will come to know that all this is no longer what it is meant. That's why I share with some of you all that after that thing happened, after 1989, then when this nature had the understanding, there are a lot of this Dhamma talk, book and all those things that I read, I just keep quiet because I couldn't say anything. Like last time I remember the mindfulness. People talk about mindfulness. That talk was on daily mindfulness. Then there was this expression, the fan. The speaker gave the example. He said like your fan. If it moves too fast, you cannot see. There is no clarity. But you slow down that fan, you can see clearly how many blades and all those things. Very logical. But is it the truth? Whatever that is logical is not the truth. Because mindfulness is not about speed. It's about your attentiveness, your silent mind. If you have that type of mind, no matter how fast the mindfulness will be there. You have the mind and the phenomena as one. Very fast it moves. Very fast, that awareness. But that awareness is a nature everywhere. And no speed on. So when you understand it that way, it's so completely different from what people do. And people are teaching mindfulness and all those things. But you cannot blame them, because at different level, you understand differently. Then you share and you teach differently. So we have to respect all this, whatever society's way. Okay, Chui?
I just want to thank Yun Chan for bringing this up,
because very good.
It's very important thing teach us to be more wise in what we read and how we read. And
I think Kayana Metta received this. How many of you don't receive? It's in the mic. Oh, Tuesday class. Oh, very good, very good. Oh, no wonder we receive. Good, good. Okay. Those who don't receive one, I just read to you. Very good, very good. Oh, Yun Chan, now I know. Oh, because of the Tuesday class. Yeah, thank you, thank you. So I read to you, because we still have time. The conceptual mind can take over at the point of intention to eat. At the point of intention to eat. Now with your understanding, you can easily see it for yourself and understand it for yourself. And we can discuss it and you tell me what is your understanding. The conceptual mind can take over at the point of intention to eat. See? At the point of intention to eat. Then either wisdom or greed will be dominant. You agree with the statement or not? Yeah? And only one will win. Yeah? Go like that. He said, at the point of intention to eat, no, at the point, no. If you don't have wisdom, means what? You don't have is you don't have. Understand? No? Even at the point you eat, or after you eat, or before you eat, you are still the same. Understand? No? How can it be like that? That's why I say I dare not reply. But you will understand, because wisdom is not something that you learn. Understand? No? Wisdom is not a knowledge. It's not rigid. Wisdom is a realization and insight. when you develop the correct meditation, appropriate meditative understanding, it will arise. And when it arises, the form and mind that is connected to it will always have it. That's why once you become Sotapan, you cannot fall back, understand or not? The Buddha already said it very clear. Once you become Sakadabhami, you cannot fall back, understand or not? Once returner. That's why the wisdom is not a knowledge. You don't have to remember one. There are some Kayamita used to tell me, but I cannot remember anything. I said, that is good news, understand? Why you want to remember anything? He said, but I don't know anything. Because your thought want to know, understand? Then your actual cultivation actually make you like that, but you cannot understand. Then you fear because the thought tell you, hey, you cannot remember means you don't understand. You don't know. Then, logical, isn't it? Then, fear arises. You cannot cultivate like that, understand? Yeah, the real cultivation is not like that. That's why I say, forget about the thought. The Dhamma is pachetang. When you realize, for the wise by itself, there is no more doubt, understand? You still need to check with the book or the monk or the teacher. I can tell you, 100% is not the real one. Because the one who realize pachetang, the wise who realize can understand. It can only be understood and realized by the wise. That's it. So all this is very clear. Eh? So next time you read all this, you will know how to screen them. Okay? Understand, huh? Can follow, huh? Good. Okay, we still got about 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Oh, 13 minutes. Okay, any question so far? Maybe I read one more round, so that this is continuous, no interruption. Then hopefully you can get the meaning clearer. But this one I want to spend more time so that it sink in. The understanding stabilized. Then when you understand this, I tell you, you can straighten your view very easily. And you can progress very easily. Actually, yes. Yeah.
There is another post in that Tuesday chat group by Jin Hao on Dhammananda's Do We Need Religion?
Oh, that talk. That talk is very good. That talk is very good.
So, I haven't gone through it.
That talk is very good.
Give us a gist.
Yeah.
What it's all about.
Actually, Chief Reverend's that talk is very good. Where he said, like I used to tell you all, it's not your religious label that make you religious, understand that? He said, if you call yourself a Buddhist, no meaning. It's your heart. If your heart is pure, then you are religious. If your heart is not pure, and you claim that you are a Buddhist, there is no meaning. Then he even talked about other religion. He said, most of these religions, they are too keen to convert people, understand? Then sometimes he even say that people who practice religion, they get themselves, they put more emphasis on the form, Dhamma. Means outwardly how they practice that religion. They show that they are very pious. They always go to temple, understand, or to their religious way place. Then they pray many times a day and all those things. Then some claim they eat vegetarian and all those things. They think they are more compassionate when they do all this. They are more religious. You know what Chief Reverend say? You can do all those. But in your heart, still have all the gross greed, hatred, and delusion, and you cannot see because you don't have mindfulness and awareness and you're not sensitive, all the religious label is not going to help you. All those things that you do outwardly is not going to make you religious. Then, of course, the talk was very long, but I only got the short part which Sri Yan said from 44 minutes onward. That one actually was very good. You go and listen. That's why Chief Reverend, towards the end, I realized he got quite a lot of wisdom. I remember one talk, you know, I cannot remember which recording was it, but it was very near the year he was about to pass away. I think 1 year or so before that. Towards the end of the talk, he just said this thing. He said, I don't want to be anything. I just want to have goodness, kindness, virtue. When he said that, I rejoiced so much inside my heart. Means a person who really has developed that type of wisdom will understand. Ultimately, nothing frees you except your virtue, your goodness, your kindness. Your heart must be pure. And to have this type of virtue, you must have wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot. That's why you cannot practice compassion, love. You cannot. Understand? You cannot practice to be good, to be kind, to be generous. Who is practicing? The thought is practicing. And the thought which is egoic is selfish. He cannot be good. The good that they are talking about is good according to them. Understand? Good according to them. Whatever that benefits them. Like parents. Sometimes they tell their children, No, don't study this course. Study that course. Why? Good for you. Understand? Why? Because some family kiasu, understand? They want their children to go into professional course, understand? Then they expect this course got more future, more potential, can get them big salary or good money. So the motive behind is their own selfish intention. But they don't have the compassion and the love to feel for their own children. What is it that they want? Observe them, understand them, then you will know what they are here for, what are their paths, what are they talented in. Then you have to discuss with them because it's their life, their future. Then develop more understanding, so that you can advise them accordingly as good parents, so that they will learn how to become independent on their own, so that they learn how to make their own decision in life and be responsible for what they decide in life. Then when they decide through their own understanding and choice, they will not blame you. Then they will be very happy that they have parents who understand them, who never force them to do anything against their will. So this is what sensitivity and wisdom is all about. You're no longer selfish. It's not about you anymore. It's about your children, humanity, all those that have relationship to you. You respect them for what they are. Then you allow them to do whatever they want to do. Then when there is condition, if they are sincere, if they really want to seek your advice and understanding, and then you can share. And this is what Dhamma is all about. End of the day, it's not what you think. It's just for my mind. He know you, he know me, no reality. So there is nobody there to argue, or to be right, or to do anything. No. It's because of condition. It's because of affinity. Thing is just the way it is. Just a phenomenal world of consciousness. Mighty nature rolling by. Coming and going. He know you, he know me. And when you understand that, and you have this beautiful quality of a meditative mind, you become beautiful. You will become very different. Okay, another 10 minutes. It's no more 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Any more questions? No more, No more. Then you all want to share merit so that we can end earlier? So for once, we end before 10:30. Okay. Let us rejoice before the sharing of it. Oh yeah, I supposed to read through one more time. Okay, good. Thank you, PG. Thanks for reminding. Okay, J. Krishnamurti's notebook, page 336. On attention is seen. According to J. Krishnamurti, attention is seen. Seeing is an art, same as listening. But one hardly ever listen or see. Everyone is so occupied, so busy with the things that they have to be done, that has to be done, with one's joy, problems, and tears. One has no time to see. But time does not give you sight. Time hinders seeing, listening. Time is the space for experiencing. And experience only dulls the mind and heart. The mind is filled, and the heart has turned away. And so there is no seeing. To see, knowledge must be kept in the book and not in the mind. Knowledge interprets, chooses, gives color, opinion, weighing, criticizing, choosing. And then there is no seeing. When the mind is so crowded and the heart dull with sorrow, how can there be seeing? What you see is your own imagination, projection, your own desire, your own fear. But you don't see what is, which is the reality. Seeing things as they are. It goes by, and you are lost with your own toys. But when you do see, do listen, then that act is a miracle that transforms, that has emptied the mind and the heart of the past. You don't have to do anything, for thought is incapable of this miracle, because the doing is by the thought. Then that seeing is love, as listening is. You cannot come by this through exertion, through the dullness of discipline, through any bargaining, nor through the shock of unanswerable question. There must be emptiness to see. To listen, there must be quietness. That is a free mind, free of all conditioning. It is rather late in the night. Lightning and rain were making great noise. Again, the brain was aware of the lightning and the rain on the window. But it was motionless, astonishingly still, for that immensity was there with clarity and unapproachable strength. And this is a very beautiful sharing by J. Krishnamurti. Of all the sharing, I found this one to be very, very penetrative. The moment I read, I knew. And you look at the WhatsApp, this book came to me from somebody who sent. I also forgot who already. It was in the year 2008, 10th of April 2008. How many years ago? 8 years ago. 8 years ago when I saw this book, I just highlighted it, this page. And there are actually a lot of other very beautiful pages too. But I like this page because this page is easy to understand. And I waited for almost how many years? At least 5 to 6 years before you all are ready to understand this. That's why all along I didn't share this. All along I didn't share this because it's not easy for people to have that understanding. So now there are some who can. And most of you, at least to a certain extent, you can understand. True or not? Very good. I saw Hui Rong nodding the head. Sadhu. I think most of you all who had attended the class for a while, you definitely can understand. Because this one involves the mind. if you have mindfulness, you will understand all these words clearly, beautifully. And when you reflect, contemplate, it will deepen your wisdom. You remember I used to share with you all, my teacher, Achayantra, what he told me? He told me not less than 6 times. No? We choose contemplate the Dhamma until very, very, very clear. Understand? No? Every time I see him, later part of 1989, he just tell me that. No? Then I realized that was how I developed all those understanding, stabilized it. Then, after 1989, which was the year the nature developed the understanding, then when I reflected back and I looked back, a lot of my understanding came from reflection, contemplation. That's why I am very good in the second turning, reflection and contemplation. Also because it's from my past cultivation. When I hear truth, when I see truth, when I read truth, this nature understands. And very fast it penetrates. Then when it reflects and contemplates, deep understanding will surface. That's why I like to read this type of thing. And when I read, there was so much joy because I have gone through all this before I read. You understand? Because in my cultivation, I have gone through all this. That's why I understand what he is trying to tell me or share with people. If you don't have the Dhamma, I tell you, you cannot understand what he is trying to tell you. And those people who teach the thought-based meditation, the method and the technique, what I tell you, you ask them to read, they surely are book you one, I tell you. They cannot appreciate. They say, what is this rubbish? Nothing to do with the Dhamma. No Four Noble Truths, nothing. No suffering, no cause of suffering. Understand? No mindfulness also, they tell you. You realize or not? There is no word on mindfulness, is there? But awareness is there. So a lot of this thing, if you go by logic, you will be misled. You become gullible. But if you go by truth, it can be in any language. Understand? Written in any word, any format. The truth is the truth. It's just like that drawing. Everybody who look at that painting, they will express it differently. You understand? If your background is like me, engineer, scientific, I will approach it from that angle. Understand? Then maybe now I got Dhamma. I will approach it a little bit from spiritual and other things. But if you're an art student, you will approach it differently. So you describe the same picture or painting, understand? But everybody describes it differently. But if I have seen the painting before, no matter how you describe, I will know. Oh yeah, you must have seen the painting. Like Mona Lisa. You can describe in your own way. Some people say, what type of art is it? So abstract, I cannot understand. But those who actually appreciate, you know what they tell you or not? Yeah, I was there in Paris. The place where the art is placed. The Louvre. I only came to know that the Mona Lisa, the uniqueness is what? From any angle you look, it always smiles to you. And it's a very small painting. And when I was there, I tried, oh, really, I stand this corner, also same, center also same, that corner also same. That painting has that that creativity and uniqueness. That's why it became so famous. Leonardo da Vinci, is it? Da Vinci, yeah. Yeah, the eyes are looking at you. Yeah, he's always staring at you. Oh, very unique, very beautiful. That's why people who cannot appreciate, what is this Mona Lisa? Understand? But you know how much or not? And people are crazy for it. That's why when you don't have the understanding, you cannot appreciate. Like this type of Dhamma, the so-called Buddhist will say, nothing to do with the Dhamma. What is it? You cannot understand. At least, not so bad. Some they say, what rubbish is this? Wah, kaulah. Because when you cannot understand, please have an open mind. It doesn't mean that there is no truth in it. Because truth is very abstract. It's not a knowledge. It's not something rigid. It's not something that the word has to be exactly the same. Suit your format and all those things. Okay, we better end.
Is
it there must be emptiness to see? Mm. Is this emptiness same as the Wu Yin Jie Kong? No, this one is different. Okay, I repeat your question. Use the mic, better use the mic. Use the mic. Very good question. That's why if you are not sure, you better ask. This one is not the emptiness that is referred to in the Heart Sutta. But that one can also approach it, no different. But here, what Krishnamurti meant is different. You read.
There must be emptiness to see, to listen.
Yes.
There must be quietness.
Yeah. Mm. So you want to understand the word emptiness.
My question is the emptiness here is the
same as the Heart Sutra? No. Here different. No, different. That one is a realization. The Heart Sutta, Wu Yun Jie Kong, is a realization. Understand that? This one, Krishnamurti mean is there must be emptiness to see. Means your brain, everything is empty of all those knowledge. Understand that? All those conditioning, all those views and opinion, perception and everything, completely empty. Understand? So this is very different. There must be emptiness to see. Then to listen, there must be quietness. It's just like last time you tried to ask me about the thing that I shared with you, which was very good. I used to share with you. In the midst of activity, there can be stillness. In the midst of sound, there can be silence. Quite similar, understand that? In the midst of activity means what? Throughout the day, like you got to do a lot of things, a lot of activity, you have to attend to a lot of things, you have to bathe yourself, you have to dress yourself, you have to eat, you have to do whatever daily chores that you have to do. But then, that mind can be in stillness, understand not? You can be in the midst of daily life doing everything, but this one didn't move. That's why in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. So for Krishnamurti, is similar. To see, your brain must be empty of all those conditioning, understand not? Memories, views and opinion, all those things. Knowledge, everything you must set aside. Otherwise, you cannot see. Otherwise, this one come in and interfere, understand not? And your mind become what? In Hokkien, it's called kepo. Understand? Kepo. In Cantonese, is what? Busybody. Cantonese is what? Kepo. Actually, the Hokkien word very fantastic. And don't understand Hokkien. Oh, you can understand. In Cantonese, the word kepo is what? Apakwa. Apakwa. Oh, Yujan, you should know that your Cantonese very good. Pakwa. But pakwa don't reflect the thing. Kepo means the mind like to chat. You know what is kepo or not? Like to talk about people. Like to come and disturb people. Understand? Very kepo. But pakwa also same, meaning?
Same.
Same. Oh, pakwa. Pakwa is not talk only. Talk to people only. Kepo is busybody, busybody. Oh, busybody also. Oh, good, good. Means it's similar, Then the second part, the second part, you must listen, In the midst of sound, there can be silent. You know what is the silent? Like when you are in the town, in the busy street, where there's a lot of traffic, a lot of nature's vibration and sound and other things. But your heart is? No, not still. Silent. Not the one with the forehand, in front of your mouth, no? That one is don't talk, understand? No? Don't talk doesn't mean your mind is silent, no? It's still chatter and verbalize, no? Understand? No? And kepo inside there. No? But when it's completely silent, means no chattering, no verbalization. Completely silent. You don't even talk. You don't even arise a thought. You are not preoccupied with anything. That's why in the midst of all those, there can be silence. And the cultivation of daily mindfulness is what this is all about. You cannot be silent in the midst of sound and activity, or stillness in the midst of activity. You cannot have the stability of daily mindfulness to see, to listen, to experience. The experiencing is not of the thought, anasana. When we say we can be with the moment to experience the great pristine and beauty and wonders of life, that is to be truly with that moment without thought, without all this conditioning. When thought arises, what happens? It will create fear, and it will stir the mind, the conditioning and all those things. But when there is no thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no concept, no idea, nothing. It's just peacefulness, beauty. That type of pure experiencing. Nothing hot inside the head herself. There is no joy, nothing. It's just that moment, so beautiful, so meaningful. But when you hold it to memory and accumulate and want it repeated, there is attachment, there is craving. Then you don't live. To live means every moment is different. Every moment is pristine, beautiful. But that is the reality. That is what is. You understand? If everything you experience already accumulate in memory and want it repeated, then you have choice. Understand? And what is choice? Krishnamurti put it very bluntly, you know. Wherever there is choice, there is... I cannot remember, Hayo. Oh, better write on the board. Wherever there is choice, there is...
Start with C.
Ah, very good. Confusion. Make me recall. Confusion, is it? That's why it will lead to conflict. Whenever there is choice, there is confusion. Means you are confused, understand? Who choose? What choose? The thought that is deluded choose, understand? Thing is just the way it is, understand? No right, no wrong. There is no necessity to arise the discriminative mind to discriminate and to choose. But don't confuse your decision in life, no, understand? Decision in life is not a choice. It's a decision that you decide to make. Understand? You are not choosing. But when you are very undecided, then you are in confusion. Understand? Undecided means what? Huh? Not to say don't know how, what to choose. You like not sure. Understand? You actually want to choose. Like girlfriend or boyfriend. Marry or not to marry. First thing you decide is what? Got money or not? The other side. Marry anyhow. Then after you got all the plus point, then you check the negative point. Ayo, she like that, you know. Yeah, I marry her. How, man? How can I face her day and night like that? So you have this selfish choice, understand? That's why you have confusion. But when you have wisdom, you act according to wisdom, understanding, you just act, understand? Spontaneously, you will know what to do. That's it. Finish. You understand? Acting according to memory is not acting at all, but acting according to understanding and wisdom will you understand. If you want to marry, means you are serious about it. Understand? It's a marriage contract. It's not about comparing. Understand? It's no more selfish decision. Understand? No more about what can I gain from this marriage. The decision is based on what? Selfishness, greed. Then that is not acting at all. Because you are acting according to your conditioning, your memory, which is full of your greed, your selfishness, your egoic craving and all those things. But if you act according to wisdom, which is the noble effort, you have right view. There is karmic behind. That's why I cannot have selfishness. I cannot decide through insincerity and all those things. Oh, we better end. Huh? Oh, sorry. Yeah, supposed to end early. Now we are late 50 minutes. Okay. I hope I answer your question. Okay, thank you. Again, late after 10:30. Almost 10:45 already. Okay, sharing our merits with all the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sugita hantunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sugita hantunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sugita hantunya tayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully, yeah? The Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the great beings, the worthy ones.